I just want to give a big thank you to some people who put in a lot of work this week. We had some electrical issues going out to the field, and so Dale and Mike and Glennis and Elaine and Gary, is that everybody that was kind of working? Sharon came and brought lunch for them yesterday, so thank you guys so much. They got it done, so... We ended up having to put a whole new wire in because the other one had a bunch of nicks and stuff in it. So anyway, now it works. Works, so awesome. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day. And I thank you for people who are willing to serve you and behind-the-scenes stuff where most people would never even know what they're doing. And Father, I thank you for people with a servant heart. And thank you for the worship team up here this morning, the teachers downstairs, and just there's so many different people that do things that most of us never see. And I pray that you would bless them, that you would encourage them. Pray for Bob and Ruth and Sue as they'll be heading back this direction pretty soon. Just pray that you give them safety on their flight, that just all the connections would occur right and it would be a smooth trip home. And Father, we want to give you all glory this morning because you're the one that deserves it, that we can praise you, magnify you, lift you up because you are God. Thank you for all you've done for us. And again, some of that behind-the-scenes stuff that we don't even realize all that you do for us. Thank you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, we're continuing our series in Romans 12. Going to be looking at chapter 2 today. Thank you. chapter 12, verse 2. There we go. It seems weird to start in the middle of a book, but that's what we're doing. So, not conformed. Resolutions. Many people make New Year's resolutions. You can go to the next one, Ron, and the next one. There we go. So I found this, some statistics. This was 2018, things that people wanted to resolve to do differently in the coming year. Eat healthier, get more exercise, save more money. Most people make it to about February. We have all these good intentions, you know, to do things differently, to make some changes in our lives. And yet, without the right motivation, it makes it very hard. We who are believers in Jesus Christ do the same thing. We have all these good intentions to live a certain way, do certain things, and yet we struggle with that. We want to become more like Christ. Romans 8:29 says that we're to be conformed to the image of God's Son, to be more like Him. Philippians 1:27 says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. But change is hard. Change can be very painful at times. And we don't all start in the same place. Whatever kind of change that we're doing, we don't necessarily all start, whether it's in our Christian walk, whether it's just in our daily lives, we don't necessarily start in the same spot. Some of us grew up in great homes. Some of us did not. Some of us have struggled with drug and alcohol addiction. Some of us have not. The environments that we've been in are quite different. And yet the goal is the same, to be like Christ. But the journey to get there can be very different. But Christ can make the difference in our lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away, behold, new things have come. Why do we keep going back to the old things? It's that struggle with that sin nature that's in us. We keep trying to go back to the old stuff, and did the old stuff work? No, not really. But yet we keep going back to it. Only through salvation can we really experience life change. We become that new creature. The old things are gone. When the enemy comes and tries to remind us of those old things, we need to tell him, get out of here. That stuff's gone. I'm new in Christ. Motivation. Motivation's the big one. Why do we do what we do? So many times we go to God because we're unhappy, we're miserable, things are just a mess. And we go to God because God can fix it. Well, sometimes the problem is the stuff we're going through is discipline. And God's taking us through some of these things to get us where we need to be. It can be just such an unchanging cycle. We go to God for the fix, then we go right back to what we're doing. We go to God for the fix, then we go right back to what we're doing. We talked last week about being a living sacrifice. That doesn't sound like fun. But yet that's what God calls us to do, to be that living sacrifice. We need to experience God's grace and mercy, to have gratitude towards Him, to want to please Him and to glorify Him. Romans 10, 11 through 13 says, "For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved." Anyone. Doesn't matter who you are. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. Living sacrifices. We're going to continue today looking at, so how does that occur? How does that happen? So number one, not conformed. Our verse this morning, in chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." How do we be living sacrifices? We need to have a change in thinking, to not be conformed to this world. Now, when Paul here talks about this world, he's talking about the present age or the present culture. Galatians 1, 4 through 5 says, "Who gave Himself for our sins so that He might rescue us from this present evil age." So see, it was no different then than it is now. This present evil age. If you don't think it's an evil age, pick up a newspaper. Listen to the news. If you can stand it, listen to a politician. This evil age. You know, and they're not all bad. I shouldn't say it that way, because they're not. There's some good quality people who are in our government. But there's a lot of bad apples in there too. This present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom the glory forevermore. Amen. This world has been corrupted by sin. It happened back in the garden. This world, apart from God, is godless. So what is our thinking? How are we being conformed? Or how are we being changed? Here's a term. This is not a correct word. Do we think Christianly? You know, or do we allow that world to seep in and we start thinking about it? You know, the thing that we can praise God in is this world is temporary. This evil age is temporary. He's going to bring about a change. And what we're dealing with right now in our world is somebody who runs the world, who is our enemy. He's our enemy. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4, it says, "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they may not see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." In Ephesians 2:2, it says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. There is an enemy in this world that is working against everything God wants to do. So when I look around and I wonder, how in the world do people think that way? Well, Scripture just said, it's the enemy who comes in and blinds them and messes with their minds. And they believe that lie. There is a new age coming. 2 Peter 3 says, but according to his promise, we are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. It's coming. There will be a day when there is a new heaven and a new earth, and this evil age will be gone. But in between that, literally, all hell will break loose. It will be a mess because the enemy is going to take down as many as he can on his way out. Because he knows. He has limited time. Number two, we need to be transformed. The Greek word there is metamorpho. It's where we get the term metamorphosis. That's why there's a butterfly on there, in case you didn't catch that. Metamorphosis. Isn't that, do you ever really thought about that? Caterpillar turns into a butterfly? But there's no God. That just happened by chance. How in the world would that happen by chance? It makes no sense. So this is a very interesting word. Greek is very precise. So it's a Greek verb. It's in the present tense, which means it's ongoing. It didn't just happen once, but it's ongoing. It's something that continues to happen. We continue to be transformed. It's also in the passive voice. It means God is doing it also. It's not just us doing it, it's God doing it. And the imperative mood, which means we have a participation in it. We have some responsibility in doing it. This idea of transformed. So it's ongoing. God is working in it, and we are working in it. It's a process. It's a lifelong process. You know, for some of you, you may have experienced immediate change. You know, especially when you came to the Lord, there may be things in your life that just immediately changed. Lifestyle, language, whatever. But there are some things that seem to take maybe forever. It just seems like, why can't I get over this? Why does this not change? But if you look back, I think you'll see that it is changing. Sometimes it's very gradual. Sometimes it's immediate. God is working. He's working along with us. Philippians 2, 12 through 13 says, those then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. So it's us working through our salvation. It's him participating in there with us, helping us along. So we must also participate. We must participate. 1 Timothy, as Paul is talking to young Timothy, he talks to him about discipline yourself for godliness, because that is the goal, godliness. Galatians 5 is where we find the fruits of the Spirit, but we also find the fruits of the flesh. Galatians 5, 16 through 23, Paul speaking to the Galatians, he says here, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. Ever been there? Just that. It feels like it's a struggle. The Spirit and the flesh fighting against one another. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. They are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarned you. just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practice, meaning continuous, ongoing. But, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's what we're to strive for, the fruit of the Spirit, to be like Christ, conform to his image. We need to have a renewed mind. Our thinking has to change. Our old way of thinking needs to go away. We become a new creature. We need to have new thinking. And that's what verse 2 is talking about. The total transformation of how we think. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks, so he is. As a man thinks, so he is. We need to work on our thinking. We need to have that renewed mind. And the way we renew our mind is through God's word. Excuse me. We need to literally saturate ourselves with his word. It helps us to know who he is. And it helps us to know who we are. Who we are apart from Christ and who we are in Christ. Joshua 1:8. Is in here somewhere. I missed a verse. Let's back up. So, God's word. Let's go to Genesis. Genesis 5. Many of you are familiar with this. Genesis 3. I'm not sure which one it is now. I have 5 in my notes and 3 on my sheet. I'm guessing it's 3. Genesis 3, 1 through 5. The serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said," God's word, "you shall not eat from any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die." Okay, let's go back to Genesis 2 and see what God said. Genesis 2, 16 through 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for on the day you eat from it, you will surely die." So what did Eve do? She added to God's word. The serpent, it says, he was crafty. He knew what to say and how to say it. Okay, going on then in verse 4 of chapter 3. The serpent said to the woman, "You surely won't die," contradicting God's word. "For God knows that at the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Contradicting God. Saying something totally different than what God said. So that's why we need to know God's word. Okay, now we can go to Joshua 1:8. We need to know God's word. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." So is there a time when you shouldn't be in God's word? There's day and there's night. Is there any other time? Continually being in God's word. being a student of God's word. In Matthew, Jesus says, whatever I say to you, do it. Act on it. In James, we see James talking about being doers of the word. So don't just hear it, don't just read it, but do it. Act upon it. In renewing our mind, we need to reflect Christ, being conformed to his image. Saw that in Romans 8. We then come to prove God's will. So the end of the verse, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So that which is good. And the scripture says there is none good other than God. In other words, we're proving out what God has said and how we live our lives. In our transformation, being conformed, we're then living that out to prove God's will. We are living examples. That which is acceptable. Acceptable to who? Acceptable to God. There really is no one else that we need to do things for that's acceptable. I mean, our culture, it's like, well, be acceptable to yourself. Just, you know, do your own thing. It's not hurting anybody, so, you know, go ahead. And that which is perfect or complete, showing the world through our life what is good and acceptable and perfect. So this renewal is a process. As we become conformed, or as we don't become conformed to the world, but be transformed, and it starts in our minds. It starts with our thinking. Part of this process, of course, then is we need to participate with God in it. You know, we don't just kind of sit back and go, okay, God, let me have it. We were talking in our adult class this morning. Well, can he just make me a list? Just write out a list, and then I can follow that. You know, if you just write me a letter and say, here's what I want you to do. You know what? He did. You have it? It's called a Bible. He told us in that, here's who I am, here's who you are, here's what I need you to do. Ephesians 4:22. In reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. God is telling us to do this, not to just kind of sit back and, okay, let me have it. Where's the list? What do I do? You know, as we were talking about that this morning, you know, what happens there is basically it's because we're lazy. Well, I don't want to study God's word. I don't want to have to read it every day. If I just had a list, then we'd be good. No, you need to develop that relationship with God so that when God speaks, you hear him, that you recognize his voice. We need to consume, literally, we need to consume God's word. Hide it in our heart. We need to have a regular time with God. That's how you develop relationship. You know, you can't develop a relationship with another person without spending time with them. Well, can't I just, you know, through osmosis maybe? No. You have to talk. You have to find out how they think and listen to what they say and develop that relationship. And it never stops. You realize that? Relationships never stop. You have to continually keep developing them. Keep developing them. Keep developing them. It's one of the reasons divorce is so rampant. Because we quit trying. We quit developing relationship. We just go, well, you know, I know I'm good enough by this point, so no. You got to continue to develop that relationship, and it's the same with God. You got to keep developing it. We also need to look to other godly people, other godly resources. There's Christian books out there. There's mature believers out there that we can get good insight from. Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 says that God gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service to the building up of the body of Christ. There are those out there from experience, study, just life, who we can glean good information from. But we have to be careful. Just as in Eve's case, we still need to know God's word so that when that person's speaking, we know whether they're speaking the truth or not. Because they're still human beings. They can still get off track. Do not be morphed into this present culture, but allow the Holy Spirit to change your thinking to align with God's kingdom, the right culture. Part of what Jesus called us to do was to further God's kingdom here on earth. Now we look at that job and think, you gotta be kidding. No, he's not kidding. We need to continue to go after it, to stand firm in the culture. In this culture it's gotten so whacked out. We need to stand firm and stand on God's word. And it does not need to be our opinion. It needs to be God's opinion. This is what God says. And so when those things arise and someone makes a comment that skews God's word or that isn't even close to God's word, we need to speak up. Especially if it's skewing God's word. You know, how many times have you heard a politician quote scripture and it was wrong? It happens. They're manipulating it for their own use. They figure if I say something from the Bible, see, I'll pull in those Christians. But we as Christians better know God's word, and when they don't speak it right, we go, wait a minute, that is not accurate. That is not what God's word said. And that's what Eve should have done. Better yet, that's what Adam should have done. He should have said, no, I'm not taking the fruit. God said not to. I'm not going to do it. We talked about that this morning, too, in class. What if Adam had done that? What if Adam had said, no, I'm not going to do it? Or if he had taken it, when God came to the garden and said, Adam, where are you? He came out crawling on his face and said, I've sinned before you. I did what you said not to do. Please forgive me. That isn't what he said, though, was it? That woman that you gave me. Isn't that what we're still doing in this world? Well, it wasn't me, it was that person. Pete hit a wrong note. That's why that was, you know. It's someone else. You know, it's always got to be someone. I can't take personal responsibility because it was someone else. Come on. You got to use your imagination a little bit and just think, oh, so what if that would have happened? Well, Adam would have sinned somewhere else along the way and blown it, but David's a good example to us of a man who, when someone confronts him with sin, what's he do? He confesses it. He asked for forgiveness. He's contrite. He knows he was wrong. And that's why God can say he's a man after my own heart, even though he messed up over and over and over. Man, I got a lot of good stuff from our class today. That's about half my sermon. Good thing I went to class. Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you've given us your word, that we really can learn from it who you are and how much you love us. Your word says that you loved us so much that before we were even willing to come before you, you were willing to forgive us. You were willing to allow your son to die for us because of love. So many times I think people look at the Bible and they see this God of wrath, this God who does all these bad things to people, because they don't understand the context. They don't understand what you're doing and how you're working, and that ultimately what you do is out of love. Discipline is out of love. Jesus dying on the cross was out of love. Father, help us to accept that you love us that much, and then help us by your Holy Spirit to be transformed, the renewing of our mind. Help us to think godly. Help us to work in participation with you to get where you want us to be. Conform to the image of your Son. We'll never reach perfection here on this earth, but that's still the goal. That's still the process. That's still the journey. Help us to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to, again, bring your attention to the connection cards. If you've got prayer requests or praises, if you've got any new information that needs to go on there, if you just want to, you know, make a comment, you know, like the message this morning was really good. If it wasn't, don't bother. No, criticism is fine also if you're willing to put your name on it. If you want to criticize and you don't want to put your name on it, then you can write it out and then just toss it in the round file. Bulletin. So we've got some things going on here. Pastor Ruth. Yeah, that works. Pastor Bob and Ruth, when they get back, want to do the grief share. Again, they've done this in the past. So there's a sign-up sheet out there on the day and time that would work best for you. They're looking at probably the middle of September because they want to be done before the holidays. So that'll be coming up. Juana's coming up. Need some help there for that. There's information in there about that. Women's studies are starting back up again. There's a flyer in there that gives you some information on that. And then I also just want to draw your attention to our finances. You know, it's summer, and finances tend to be down. I just encourage you, you know, if you go on vacation, when you get back, give. You know, for some, that's just, okay, yeah, I think about that, but for some, we don't. So I want to encourage you to, you know, look, you know, whatever commitments you've made, it's the only way we can keep going here. So we need to, I just need to remind you of it every once in a while. We need you to give. That's how we make this place happen. So I think that's it.
How many backpacks did we give out?
40-ish. And we have more that we'll probably end up giving a bunch to the school. That's what we've tended to do every year. The stuff we have left over, we'll take to the school, and they've always been very appreciative of it. So, Gary. Roof project next door.
There you go. we need about 10 people to help Aylor and the deacons to. We have to revamp that roof over there for a leak in it, and if we don't do it, we're going to be in real big problems. We're going to have water running down the inside walls.
Yeah, so something's going to be have to be done before winter. So, and we've got that didn't get done earlier. So, on your way out, so now tell me what those are again, Julie. Okay. Well, you may have to change a diaper a bit, you know. Yeah, so if that's something that God might be directing you to do, you can see Julie on the way out and sign up. And if we don't get enough people signed up, we'll keep passing it around till we do. So, you know, we're going to start doing that with the offering, too. We're going to have them count it. So as soon as they take it, they'll go back, count it. If we didn't get enough, then we'll pass it around again. Somebody told me a story about a church doing that, where they didn't get enough and they literally passed it around again. Yeah. Keep it going till we get enough. Sharon. All right. God bless you. Hey, sit down, Jack. We got more going on here. Bill.
Sharon, I thank everybody for their prayers. She got through the surgery. It was fantastic. No problem. She's recovering. She's clear up there. She's smiling.
Yeah. Thanks for updating us. All right. Anymore? Going once? Going twice? All right. God bless you. Have a great week. Thanks. Oh, yeah.